Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Yep. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Currently filling in for Pastor Nate. Me. Hey, guys. I'm still here. Remember how I was like, peace.
I'm out.
No, I'm here.
Not yet.
No, Pastor Nate stuck in traffic.
Yeah, did we mention that traffic sucks everywhere? Do you want to do a quick traffic update?
Yeah, I don't even need to look at the...
Go for it. Boom!
There's construction everywhere. A lot 15 extra minutes into your daily drive, Nate. There's construction everywhere.
He does!
I'm just kidding. I mean, he's usually on time. He's usually very timely. I'm just giving him
But here, to help everybody else out, what do we got?
There is road construction. Two lanes are closed. Layton at Academy. There is also more construction work. Right lane is closed, San Mateo, south between Alameda and Oakland. There's also crazy construction work right here by the campus on Osuna and Jefferson, as well as more construction work. The roadway is reduced to one lane, Unser at I-40. Just kind of stay away from Unser right now. Unser and Sage, Unser and, like, McMahon over there?
McMahon over there. Yeah.
Crazy construction all over Unser on the west side, so careful right there. The right lane is closed, Rio Grande Boulevard at Candelaria, and that is your look at traffic.
Traffic brought to you by Solomon's Porch right here on the Calvary campus. Phone number is 505-338-3669.
Of course. There you go. This is also still your traffic report on Sunday the evening.
Well, yeah, because traffic's still going to be
still
going
there.
On. Yeah, that's why you don't have to edit that out.
So, exactly.
That'd be weird, right?
It'd be really weird.
We could start now. And welcome to Shock Therapy Live. Steve-O and Pastor Nate joining you in studio. Well, at least Nate will in just about T-minus 14 seconds.
14 seconds?
In counting.
We'll see.
So if this is your first time joining us for Shock Therapy Live, Shock Therapy Live is our one-hour call-in show centered around you, your questions. It's not a theology show. We actually have a different show every Thursday, 9 a.m. It's Theology Thursday with Pastor Jarrett Petro. He comes in here, and that dude, I'm telling you, I don't know that I've ever seen a Bible more marked up, written in, and Pastor Jarrett, a student of the Word of God.
You can tell that he pretty much lives in that Bible.
Those are the theological questions that we dig into. That's Thursday mornings, 9 a.m. with Steve-O and Mitch right here on Static Radio.
Hey.
And that's when we do that. Today is a personal type show.
Yes.
If you're struggling with an issue, if you need some advice, if you have a friend who's fallen, if you have whatever it is you need some help with, how to discern a situation, what to say, what not to say, that's this show. It's more of just a hangout session.
And get real.
And getting real and talking about what God's Word has to say about certain things. If you missed any of our past shows, if this is your first time joining us,
they are all podcasted.
Yeah, mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive, and we've tackled a lot. We like to say we're unshockable listeners on Shock Therapy Live because we've gotten some questions that we've been not stumped, but just, wow, okay, all right, this is real. This is where we're going. This is what we're doing. So if you have one of those type questions,
don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid. If you would like to keep it anonymous, we promise we will respect that. You can email us a question to studio@mystaticradio.com. That's studio@mystaticradio.com. We will keep you anonymous, we promise, because there are some issues that are definitely more touchy than others. Bye, Mitch. That are definitely more sensitive than others, and we don't want to, we don't embarrass you. We want to help you.
Dude.
Right?
Crazy story. Okay, so check this out. I call Steve-O at 8:59.
Right.
Like, stuck in traffic, getting over here. I'm going to be a minute late.
Yeah.
So I decide, hey, I'm going to be sneaky and turn through the parking lot of Einstein's and go on Jefferson. Only problem is...
Oh, you can't turn left.
I did, though. Hold on. A cop pulled me over in the Calvary parking lot.
No! Is he listening now? Because you said, I have a show. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I'm so apologetic.
So I pull in, and I'm like, sir.
My name's Brian Nixon. I'm really sorry.
No, sir. I am so sorry. I said, I was honest. Like, I said, I know I wasn't supposed to turn left, but I did anyways. Because I've got a radio show that's supposed to be on at 9 o'clock, and I'm going as fast as I can.
And what
nicest cop, like, in the entire world. He said, you're lucky you're one of my pastors. And then he said, Nate, don't turn left.
He knew who you were. Yeah. Unreal. Caleb just texted me and said, I just witnessed that.
Oh my goodness.
Good job, buddy. See what happens when you're trying to cut corners and you're trying to do a shortcut to save 30 seconds time? It actually costs you like 3 minutes.
I know.
The lesson of the day. We are an education station. We're on the educational band. That's your lesson of the day, kids.
Don't break the law.
Don't break the law. You think you're only going 5 miles over the speed limit and it's going to cut like, 5 minutes off your drive until you get pulled over and that costs you 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Don't do it, kids.
And if you have weapons, it costs you a lot longer.
The more you know.
Yep. The more you break the law, the more it costs you.
There you go. All right. And that is your educational moment of the day right here on Shock Therapy Live. Yeah.
You know which one you should have in there? Which song you should have? That Reading Rainbow. That's what song
we'll have. I will get that for you.
It's a good song.
It's good. It is Shock Therapy Live, and we can begin. Pastor Nate Heitzig joins us in studio. And you got to catch your breath there, buddy.
Yeah. Good man. I literally leaped down the stairs.
Leapt.
Leapt,
yeah.
I leapt down the stairs.
It's leapt.
I leaped. I leapt.
You leaped for joy. You leapt for joy.
Leapt.
You didn't leaped.
Leaped.
It's leapt. Stop confusing me, Michelle. Our producer, Michelle, no longer Mitch.
Leapt.
She is now Michelle.
L-E-P-T,
for the rest of the day.
Right?
She's taking your questions. At 505-338-3700 if you would like to give us a call. And again, if it's a sensitive question, we will take them anonymously. I know we already got a few emails that we need to get to. We can start wherever, but the phone lines are open. 505-338-3700. We got
Which one's the new one to start with?
This one and then the one above it. So there you go.
So we've got a question here. It says, hi, can you say... Yeah, okay, we can say your first name. Hi, Tiffany.
Hi, Tiffany.
Can you say my first name on air?
It says you can say my first name.
Okay. My question has to do with my brother. He was raised the same as me, going to church, but there's a point when everyone has to make their faith their own. Hmm. My dad also failed to lead us well at all. Anyway, I think he is under the impression that he is saved because he said the prayer when he was little and was baptized. However, he doesn't live like he is saved now at 28. He parties regularly, getting drunk. He also has a girlfriend he is sleeping with. He lives way across the country, and I don't see him often. How and when should my husband and I, or just me, tell him that he is not living for Jesus and going down a dangerous road? My gut wrenches at the thought of him thinking he is all good with God, but finding out he isn't when he dies. Thank you.
Man, if I had a friend that was, shooting up heroin.
Yeah.
And I saw them shooting up heroin. I don't know that I'd be like, man, maybe now is not the appropriate time. Maybe I should just wait. And they'll get out. Well, actually, if they're high, you probably want to wait. But
yeah.
I don't know that I would hold off on that. If you truly see the quote unquote fruit of your brother's life, you know that he's not living right. You know that there's something that's not aligning itself, that there's some issues.
Yep.
I don't know that I would wait.
No, I totally agree. You know, I think that in this situation, sooner is always better than later.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would address him as soon as possible, address the fact that his life isn't exhibiting the traits of sanctification or the traits that a believer should have. And I think that you should just be honest with him. You don't need to be mean. You don't need to drive him away to do that. You can do it in love, but I think that it needs to happen.
Yeah, I would ask how he reconciles verses, what they mean to him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I was actually just reading this week. It says, for the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, that the one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. This entire section of scripture is about the ministry of reconciliation. And right now, your brother needs to be reconciled to scripture because he's not living a life. And
yeah.
I don't know how. I'll be honest. I grew up very similar. I grew up in a Christian home, and I was living off my mom's faith for a very long time. I knew the words. I went up there on stage. When Salty was up there at 6 years old and was like, I want to high five Salty. Oh, and give my life to Christ too. And then I believed I was all good. And no matter what, Jesus loves me and I can live however I want because I said the words when I was young. So that obviously means I'm saved.
Yeah.
But I would talk to him. And you're right. There's a way to talk to him in love and say, hey, We love you, concerned about you. You can speak the truth in love because you are, obviously, you're asking a question to the show because you care. You have a concern. You see the way your brother is living his life and it doesn't line up with scripture and you want him to have a right relationship with Jesus. You're not condemning him. You're not judging him, which unfortunately is probably what is going to be said. Oh, you're just judging me. You're condemning me, bro. Yeah. You don't know me. This is my relationship with Jesus. And then I would probably ask, what relationship? Yeah. What is your relationship with Jesus? Okay, you say you have one. So what does that look like? How is that manifest in your current life? What about your life shows your commitment to Jesus Christ?
Yeah, and I give him 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. It says, "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and how to please God. Right. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. And this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor."
Yeah.
So that's what I'd give him. You know, it's a great verse that talks about sanctification and that God's will isn't for us to just come forward and say a prayer. God's will is for us to live righteous lives.
Yeah.
Not righteous lives because that's how we earn salvation, but righteous lives because of what he's done for us. And the way that, one of the writers of the New Testament says is that present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So, if he's not doing that, then the issue, isn't that he's backsliding, the issue that he's probably not saved at all. So, you know, in that situation, he needs to repent and return to his first work, return to his first love.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the word used in 2 Corinthians. It says, therefore, in verse 20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. Those of us who believe in him, those of us who follow him, are ambassadors for Christ. And I think of the word ambassador and what that means. If somebody from another country came to America and they were an ambassador from Uganda, they are a representative. They represent the entire nation of Uganda, essentially.
Yeah.
And so if he calls himself a Christian, if he believes that he is saved, then he is an ambassador for Christ. And so what in his life is representative of Jesus Christ? What in his life is representative of a holy, righteous lifestyle? And that's not to say that we as Christians are perfect. That's not to say we don't sin. I liked what you brought up in Thessalonians chapter 4 that says that more and more we are.
Yeah.
It is a process. So yes, there are some growing steps. There are some growing pains. But the fact is, or the truth about that is that we're growing more and more. And so, yeah, have a conversation with your brother. You obviously care for him. He's your brother. You love him. It's not for his condemnation. It is not for his judgment that you say. It's because you love him and want him to be reconciled to God.
So. Yeah. Yeah. You know, this is the truth. If we ever stop progressing, then we're in the process of regressing. So we always need to be striving forward. We never hit a plateau as a Christian. So
we're
consistently getting better and better.
Yeah.
Unless you're Steve-O and you're just perfect.
Stop it. I want that mountaintop. I mean, it's cool. You can have those mountaintop experiences.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
it's just some people,
then you walk away thinking
some
it's
people
always
wanna,
like that.
Some people want to pull a Peter and they just say, hey, I just want to camp out on this mountain. Like, let's just stay here. Let's build a tabernacle
forever.
Here. And, you know, that would be nice if we could do that, but that's not what the Christian life is. You know, it is a series of having to climb deeper to go higher.
Yeah.
Because if you camp out at that mountaintop, then that mountaintop eventually will become the level ground. And you, without you even realizing it, that will become the norm for you. And then you're going to have to, you know, fight that atrophy that will eventually set in.
Absolutely. Brennan Manning, in his book, The Ragamuffin Gospel, talked about the term faith, because I think a lot of times people will say, yeah, I love Jesus. I believe in him. I have faith in God. And, today in this culture, sadly, they think that word means like, yeah, I know God exists. Yeah, I believe he's real. And Brennan Manning made this point in the Ragamuffin Gospel that, culturally speaking, back even if you go back 100 years, the term didn't mean the same thing because people knew that God existed, but that's not what faith was. It was living a life exemplary of Jesus Christ, and as faith. You lived out that faith, trusting in him, clinging to him, relying on his word. And nowadays we've kind of taken the word faith to say, well, what does faith mean? Hmm. It means I believe in God. Well, what does that mean? Well, that God's real. Well, no. Back, everybody believed that God was real. You know, you go back to when this nation was founded. Everybody believed, quote unquote, everyone loosely, of course, believed that God was real, but not everybody lived or not everybody cared. They were called agnostics. Mm-hmm. And so it's not enough anymore just to say, yeah, I got faith, because it's kind of changed in this culture, and it's not good. It's scary, actually, where we're headed. So 505-338-3700 is the phone number, both lines. So let's get to line one. Static, hello.
Hi, my name is Seth, and I just have a question about Leviticus chapter 19, verse 28.
Absolutely.
It says, do not cut your body for the dead, and do not mark your skin with tattoos. I am the Lord. You know, I was just asking, you know, I see pastors with tattoos. I understand if they got those tattoos and then they become a Christian, I understand that. They can't do anything about that. But when you got, like, Christian people and pastors.
Like me.
And me. Yeah.
And Nate.
Yeah, Seth, will you read verse 27 to me?
28, I'm sorry.
Will you read verse 27 for me, though? Do you have your Bible with you?
Yes.
Yeah, will you read verse 27?
Do not trim off the hair on your temples or trim your beards.
Right. Okay, have you ever seen a pastor who has shaved his beard, who doesn't have a beard?
No.
You've never seen, every pastor has a beard?
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay, so have you seen a pastor who has a shaved head, or you've seen a pastor who has a shaved face, right?
Yes.
Okay, so does that mean that he's breaking the law of Leviticus?
No.
No? What does it say in verse 27?
Well, it says not to cut your hair or your beard.
Okay, so if you cut your hair or your beard, then you're breaking the law of the Lord, right?
Well, yes.
Okay, so I'm bringing this to your awareness because Leviticus 19 is a series of rules and regulations specifically for the Jewish people who were in a certain place at a certain time, and they weren't to look or act like the culture that they were around. So when Paul is writing, or not when I say Paul, I'm so used to talking about the New Testament, when this is being written by Moses, he's writing this to the Jewish people because he wants them to be aware of the specifics for their time period and what could cause others to stumble. In this time period, people worship false gods by shaving certain parts of their head, by shaving certain parts of their beard. Right. The false markings that we talk about here when it talks about tattoos are literally markings for the dead, which means that people would cut themselves or they would put these markings on their body to glorify and to worship their fallen, their dead relatives. And so we're talking about a completely different culture of tattoos when we talk about this. So it also talks about, throughout this passage of Leviticus 19, it talks about jewelry and not to wear certain jewelry. It talks about shaving. It talks about beards. It talks about tattoos. It talks about a lot of things that here in our modern day, in our modern culture, don't they don't cross over.
Wearing clothing with two types of linen.
Yeah.
Polyester and cotton. Can't do that.
Yeah.
You bring out a great question, though, because it's a question that's asked pseudo-regularly about Leviticus 19, and there's something that I think will make this easy for you to understand, Seth. How old are you?
13.
13. Dude, student of the word. I love it. So check this out. In the Old Testament, there's three types of laws. Okay, there's the civil law, which is like, hey, when your ox does this, or if your property, your land, do you understand what that means? So that's civil. Like, Deuteronomy 25:4 says, thou shalt not muzzle the ox when he treadeth out the corn. That's a civil law. There's another type of law, which is the moral law. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Those were considered moral laws. And the type of law that is in Leviticus chapter 19 is the ceremonial laws. These were the things that people were doing, as Pastor Nate said, at the time, ceremoniously for their other gods, marking their bodies, trimming their beards, wearing clothing of different types of linen. Those were considered ceremonial to that culture, to that time period. And so when we're talking about tattoos or trimming your beard or wearing shirts that you got at Urban Outfitters that are 70% polyester and 30% cotton, that doesn't pertain to this because those were ceremonial laws specifically for the Levites. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It was Levitical law.
Yeah.
So
now I will say this as well, though. It doesn't sound like you're ever thinking about getting a tattoo, but there is a sense that we have this question asked a lot by young people, and they say, okay, well, see mom and dad, now I should be able to get a tattoo. Now, the Bible does say also honor your parents.
Absolutely.
So if your parents don't want you to get a tattoo, then you don't get a tattoo until you move out, until you're of an age where that's your choice and not their choice. So, you know, we have to always, people sometimes want to take one law and say, well, it doesn't apply, so now I can break another law of God.
Right.
And so that doesn't work. So, you know, if your parents say that you can't get a tattoo or a piercing or anything else like that, then you honor and you respect that.
Because that actually is another moral law.
Yeah.
Honoring your mother and your father. That is not a ceremonious thing that only the Levites had to do.
Yeah, and you know, the tattoos of this day and age can be used to glorify God.
Can be.
You know, there's some tattoos that are just heinous no matter when they are.
If you, like,
you know,
my left arm.
You get like a naked chick or something tattooed on you, that's just not good ever.
That's probably not, yeah.
But like, yeah. For instance, my tattoo, I've got a tattoo that a buddy of mine did, loves the Lord, and my tattoo, I've had numerous people that have seen it, and they've said, wow, that's a really cool tattoo, who did that? And then it opens up a huge portal for me to share the gospel, because my tattoo means something meaningful to me spiritually, and so I'm able to share with that person about what Jesus has done in my life, about who God is, about what he can do in their lives, and it creates an awesome opportunity to share the gospel with somebody that I might never have the opportunity to share the gospel with, but
right.
That tattoo broke down a wall that otherwise would have been there if I tried to share the gospel.
And again, rule number one, honor your parents. Number two, it's not an excuse to say, well, then I got to get a cross on my forearm
right.
So that I can share the gospel. You can also buy like cheap tracts at like Bible stores, I'm
yeah.
sure. You can also just share your story. But I agree with you. It opens different doors to speak to different people.
But Seth, it also clothes doors to talk to different people.
It can hinder as well.
So there's pros and there's cons to it.
I remember when Aaron Gillespie was here, we were all backstage hanging out. He was getting ready to do worship at main service for Calvary, and he walks up to me and says, hey man, do you think I need to put on a long sleeve shirt? And it kind of threw me for a loop. I thought he was being funny at first, and was like, huh? You know? And
yeah.
He said, no, because my tattoos, I don't want to hinder anybody's ability to worship God because they'll be distracted by my art. Is that something I need to do? And it was like, wow, Aaron Gillespie. One, high five. I love you even more now. But it is something that sometimes it
yeah.
can hinder. People can be, quote unquote, stumbled and say, well, you know, I
yeah.
can't believe that. I can't trust him. He's got tattoos.
You know, when I go overseas to third world countries, I always cover up my tattoos because they're a lot more offensive in that culture.
Right.
Like, for instance, you go to Africa, it's very offensive in that culture to have tattoos because they mean something different than what they mean in our culture.
Right.
And so when I go to a place where I know that people are going to be offended, I'll wear a shirt that covers them up because I don't want to purposely just offend somebody for the sake of offending them.
Right. Seth, thank you so much for the question. That's a great one.
Thank you so much.
All right, man. Good kid.
Yeah.
I like that. We got to take a quick break, but coming back, more of Shock Therapy Live. If you have a question, 505-338-3700, the phone number. We got an email question about engagement. Is
yeah.
it like a how young is too young? I just saw the title. I don't know. So we'll see.
I don't know.
That's coming up on the way, as well as your thoughts, your opinions. You can get them in on Facebook, facebook.com/mystaticradio. We'll take a quick break. Right back with more Static Radio.
Lobo fans, your 2013 Lobo football season tickets are on sale right now, starting at just $78 for adults and $48 for youth ages 2 to 18. Bring the entire family for just $204, including two adult and two youth tickets. And listen to this. Group season tickets start at just $62 for 10 or more people. Support your Lobos and purchase football season tickets today. Call 925-LOBO or log on to golobos.com for details.
Join us for a free movie night at the Lobo Theater Sunday, May 26th at 7 p.m. Bring a friend and witness the struggles of Jean Valjean and an all-star cast of characters in the award-winning film portrayal of Victor Hugo's Les Misérables. Be swept away in this heart-wrenching epic of grace, law, revolution, and redemption, playing for one night only. Admission is free and seats will go fast. For details, visit calvaryabq.org or call 338-3699. Again, that number is 338-3699.
This is The Wire. I'm sure you remember how much fun VBS was. Well, it's that time again. Vacation Bible School is kicking off June 3rd through the 7th from 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at First Baptist Church of West Albuquerque. Registration is now open for kiddos age 4 to 6th grade to have a blast at Colossal Coaster World. For more information, check the community calendar at mystaticradio.com.
Do you have a free event going on? Submit your event details for The Wire at mystaticradio.com.
Shock Therapy Live. We thought we knew what we were getting into. Now we're just trying to get through the show without getting fined. You're still listening? Good. Because Steve-O and Nate haven't bailed yet either. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
That's right. More.
Yes.
More. We want more. We want more.
I want it all. Yeah.
Static Radio, good morning. Or good evening if you're listening Sunday nights at 7 p.m. Welcome. Welcome to the show.
Sometimes I just want to dance.
Oh, go ahead.
I just want to dance.
Here. Go ahead, buddy. You will definitely be dancing with yourself because I'm not going to dance with you right now.
Come on, Steve-O. Just dance with me.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
This is fun.
Okay, I'm bored now.
It's Shock Therapy Live, Steve-O and Pastor Nate Isaac joining you. If you would like to get a question in for Shock Therapy Live, you can email us, studio@mystaticradio.com. Phone lines open for you right now, 505-338-3700. And I promise, no subject is too touchy.
Yeah.
We got one on Facebook.
Yeah, we got a Facebook question from Hitler.
And he said, stop it! You can't say that! Well, no, you can't.
Yeah, I kind of can, because this guy is kind of a pig.
No, you don't know! Well, he says he's been thinking. So this really is his
thought. He's really a jerk. Yeah. He says, I've been thinking that it is against the Bible to marry a black woman if you're a white man or any other race.
Ah!
Wow.
Not going to lie.
Wow.
Can I be honest? No, that's flesh. I'm not going to be honest.
No, I just kind of want to like, hey, we really want to talk to you. We come to the church really quick so we can just talk to you for a while.
I can't. I just don't get it. This isn't the first time, unfortunately, that we've talked about this because we had
I'm gonna
a teenager
this really
call
quick.
In. No, don't delete it.
No?
Don't delete it. We had a teenager call in whose mom wouldn't allow her to date anybody from a different race. Remember, we talked about that because she said it was against the Bible to date somebody that wasn't of your same color. Did they just take that scripture, like, don't be unequally yoked, and you think of, like, an egg yolk, and so you're like, whites can't mix with yellows. And then they just decided, like, that's where in the Bible they found it. I'm giving them ammunition for their idiocies. I apologize.
Yeah.
So, sorry, Dennis. I don't mean to be so harsh on it, but
I just
cannot understand where in scripture that could be possibly reconciled to anyone's school of thought that it would be against the Bible to marry anybody outside of your color.
Absolutely insane. Absolutely insane.
We wouldn't have Michelle. Or me. Yeah. I'm half white and half Hispanic. I'm white and brown, y'all. I'm tan. I'm a nice
I'm not
color.
Anything.
No, you are superior. You're white on white.
See, you can't say that.
Oh, I can't. No, okay, sorry.
Because Dennis was like, yeah!
Yeah. That's why he listens, because you're here.
Oh,
and then
man.
He just found out I'm half Hispanic, and that's it. Sorry.
It's done.
Sorry, Mom, my Hispanic mom. It's all her fault.
Yeah, I just it blows me away that people can have this mindset, have this view.
Right.
You know, you want to talk about a marriage that that really shouldn't have happened. Talk about the marriage of Christ. If you want to talk about something even deeper than race, we were really far away from Christ, and yet he still betrothed himself to us.
Yeah.
He still died for us. And I think that's the greatest form of love. And love transcends race, transcends color, transcends creed. So I think that we have to, we have to keep in mind that you can't just say that because someone is a different color that they shouldn't be married to one another. That's completely different than, like, when you read the Bible, homosexuality is something that's clearly taught about within the Bible. So it's completely different than what we would say race, marrying outside of your race. So, you know, I would be very curious to see where you're getting that from.
Well, and my lovely normal co-host just texted in and said, hey, the question says, I've been thinking, is it against the Bible to marry? So he's asking a question that's not necessarily his opinion. So, hey, sorry, Dennis, about that. I mean, if this isn't what you believe.
Yeah. But at the same time, to be thinking about it.
I don't know. Maybe he heard some whack dude on, like, I was going to say TBN, but I don't think TBN's that crazy. Heard some, like, crazy thing where it was like, no, look at the outcome. It's Tiger Woods. He's crazy. He's half Asian and half African American, right? Isn't he? Look what happened, bro. That's gotta be why. That's not biblical! I'm trying to come up with funny reasons why this is possible because I don't wrap my mind around it.
I guess what I would say is I never find myself like sitting on the couch like thinking, I wonder if it's a sin for black people to marry white people. Right. I've never sat down on the couch and thought that. That's never come through my mind.
But unshockable listeners, right? So we get questions like that all the time. If you would like to ask a crazy question, do so, man. I promise you, we will talk about it.
I have seen. We go to the zoo a lot, and we've got friends as well who black people who are married to white people, and they make beautiful children. Oh my goodness. They make beautiful kids.
I'm waiting for like a joke here. And
no,
I'm like,
no.
Don't.
There's really no joke. They literally make beautiful kids.
Why did you mention the zoo? Like, why did the zoo have to come into
because
play?
The other day we were at the zoo and I saw this couple walking and it was like two really athletic guys. Okay. And they were walking together and they had the most beautiful child. And I was like, wow. Because it's like he had the kind of like that dark skin, but then he also had like really bright blue eyes.
Were you with like Sally and Asher? Like, what are you talking about
no.
right now? All right.
That's true. Sally and Asher, they make pretty kids too.
They make beautiful children. Static.
Hey.
Hi.
My post, I wasn't meaning as a racial person.
Oh, hey!
Oh, Dennis!
Okay, good.
We're
all
so
right.
glad you're not
We're
racist.
We're so glad you're not a racist jerk. Oh.
Yeah, I have black cousins and Hispanic cousins and everything. I was just wondering, is it against the Bible?
No, it's not.
And anybody who tells you that is an ignorant pig. And I can't say it any other way.
Yeah.
And you could take that to scripture and think of Paul when he's talking about idiots who like to say that you have to be circumcised to be a Christian, and he says, I wish you would just go the whole way and castrate yourself. He was sarcastic. I'm going to take that literally in scripture and tell you right now, anybody who says that, they are preaching something that is false, it is vile, it makes me want to punch them in my flesh, so I'm sorry.
Dennis, I'm glad you're not racist.
Oh, I'm
but,
so glad you're not racist,
Let me give you a little Facebook etiquette. Next time you write something like that on Facebook, write something like,
preface
like,
it.
Like write something like, hey, I heard someone say this, what do you guys think about
I'm
that?
Doucherton, I just wanted to ask this question. So
yeah, because when people read that, they're like, oh my gosh,
Dennis
who
is
this?
I'm praying for that guy right now.
And we're glad you're not a jerk. We're glad you're
Dennis,
not racist.
Thank
you
so much.
That's my bad for writing it that way.
No, totally cool. We're so glad you called in, bro, because honestly, this isn't the first time we've tackled this question, and it's really difficult for either one of us to answer because neither one of us can fathom. I would say we are Bereans of the word. We study the word regularly, both of us, and I just cannot find anywhere where anyone can say, well, no, obviously, this is God's word. This is God's law. Don't mess around with black people, yo. And it's like, wait, what? Like, I can't get it.
Yeah.
I have another question.
Yeah.
I didn't write it down.
Okay.
I was wondering, how should I approach some of my friends because they're leading, I know, in a sin, because they are gay. I want to compromise my walk with the Lord because I know I'm supposed to confront them and try to help them see what they're doing.
Confront is a very scary term to me because it sounds like you want to be like, hey! But absolutely. Colossians.
Yeah. And I would say, just preface everything, do everything with love. You
absolutely.
Know? Again, do it in love. I think the biggest thing that I've learned talking to people who struggle with homosexuality is to make sure they know that I'm not telling them that they're a worse sinner than I am.
Right.
All sin is leveled at the foot of the cross, and their sin of homosexuality is no worse than my sin of lying.
Yeah.
Or my sin of hatred or anger.
Yeah.
And so sin is sin, and sin separates us from God. And I think the big thing that we need to let people know who struggle with homosexuality is that who gets to call sin sin? Do you get to call sin sin, or does God get to call sin sin?
Right.
So a lot of people will say, well, it can't be wrong, it's not wrong, you know, this and that. Well, who gets to determine that? Because if you get to determine what's right and wrong, then that makes you God. So we have to look to a higher power in that. We have to realize that what the Bible says, God gets to determine that, not you, not me, not anyone else. And so I'm not telling you you're wrong because I just don't like you. I'm telling you that you're sinning because the Bible says you're sinning, not for any other reason. I love you. I care for you. And if I could make a provision in the Bible for you to go to heaven no matter what, I would.
Yeah.
But you know, the truth is that sin separates from God, and the only cure for sin is salvation and faith in Jesus Christ alone. Yeah. And homosexuality is something that you might be able to stop yourself from acting on it, but you might forever be tempted by that sin in the same way that someone who struggles with alcoholism might forever have the urge and the desire to drink alcohol.
Or just fornication in general.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Temptation is temptation.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's something that can be resisted, but it's something that you have to actively, you know, resist against.
Absolutely. We always point people to Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, to give you some clarity from God's word. It says, "Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." I love that scripture because, first of all, it says be gracious. Then it tells you to season your words with salt. We are still called to do that. So it's, you can still speak the truth in love graciously, seasoned with salt. And unfortunately, nowadays, Christians are labeled gay bashers, homophobes, and you just don't understand, and you guys are just bigots, and you can't fathom, and you know what? It's unfortunate. We're intolerant.
You know, it'd be a great bumper sticker. It'd be really controversial. If you got like a sticker that said gay lover, find out more at gaylover.com.
And then
on there, it had like a thing about how God so loved the world that he sent his only son to die. Like, that'd be a really controversial, but it'd be a really good bumper sticker. You'd
get
a lot of people to visit that.
That's not a bad idea, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm willing to bet at this point that domain's probably taken. Dude, Dennis, thank you for not being
a
racist.
No one go to that website, please.
We love you, bro. Thank you so much. Oh. Outstanding questions.
Can you?
Thanks, man.
You guys, because my pastor, I go to Calvary up in Las Lunas.
Okay. Oh, word.
Yeah.
Pastor Ray.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was there at the MAN conference, and it was awesome. And I met this guy from South Sudan. He teaches in that. And he changed my life. That's how I became a strong believer in the Lord and everything.
Wow.
But he came at me straight on.
Yeah.
Awesome, man.
Yeah. Men to men, I love that. When a dude can take you aside and say, bro.
Yeah.
So,
Nathan and David status.
Yeah, exactly. So,
on. You guys should check out his. He has some YouTube stuff. It's Wes Bentley.
All right.
Cool.
Thanks, man.
Awesome.
For the heads up.
Thanks,
on that.
Man.
All right, bye.
All right,
bye.
Later.
Cool.
See? Not racist.
Hey, we've got another question from someone who has a question about homosexuality, too.
You know what the funny thing is, real quick? Sally's listening.
Yeah.
She texted and said, what's funny is we actually did see Nate at the zoo.
Yeah. They actually did. I actually did see them at the zoo.
Yeah.
But I wasn't talking about you guys, Asher and Sally. I'm not saying you guys don't make beautiful kids, but...
They do. They make gorgeous children that I love.
They really do.
Yeah.
I would
come over to the Jeter's house. That's an invitation. Asher and Sally.
Invitation.
They're a family.
When's the next UFC fight?
I don't know.
Isn't Anderson Silva fighting somebody soon?
Man, he better.
No, I think I saw something about that. We should have a get-together again.
All
that
right.
Fun.
Is this line two we're going to?
Yeah.
All right. Static!
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Well, you pretty much kind of answered a lot of the questions, only I'm dealing with my daughter, who is telling me about tolerance, about, you know, all her friends and people she knows.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, this is the way they are, Mom, and you don't understand.
Hmm.
And so Colossians 5, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough when I hate the intolerant word because it's hilarious. I would ask them back what their definition of tolerance is, because anytime someone says you're being intolerant, they're actually oddly enough, somehow being intolerant themselves because they're not willing to listen to what God's word has to say. And so they say, oh, you're just being intolerant. But I would ask what their definition of intolerant is, because if it's just that you don't believe in what I'm saying, well, then they're doing that exact same thing by not believing what God's word has to say about a particular issue, and therefore intolerant themselves according to their own definition.
Yeah, and this is what I'd say. You know, it sounds like your daughter's dealing with people who are saying that they're born that way, and so they can't help it. Like, Mom, it's just them. Like, they can't help that. And this is what I would say to that. Just because you're born with the inclination to do something doesn't make it right.
Right.
So you have people all the time that are born, and from a very young age, they have a desire to hurt animals. They have a desire to hurt things.
Dexter.
And they have, yeah. But so you, I mean, you serial killers. I mean,
right.
there's psychological issues that cause this to happen. There's people who are born with a natural inclination to do drugs because their parents did drugs,
right.
Or a natural inclination to do certain things. That doesn't make it right. It's still wrong, no matter if you're born that way. The
right.
Bible says we're all born into sin,
yeah.
And so for some reason Christians have a hard time with this. Well, no, you can't be born gay. Well, if you can be born into sin, why can't you be born with the desire for homosexuality?
Right.
You know, so I think it's entirely possible to be born with that desire, but that doesn't make the desire right.
Right.
You know, the Bible is all about denying your natural self. That's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
Deny yourself and take up your cross. So we're not supposed to give in to what we naturally want to do. That's called sin. We're
yeah.
supposed to deny what we naturally want to do and seek and follow Christ.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say to that, is it's entirely possible to be born with those inclinations, those desires, but that doesn't make it right any more than a serial killer naturally being born with the desire to hurt things makes that right.
Right.
Oh, I have never heard it that way. That's just, you know what? Thank you.
You need to start podcasting us. Thank you so much for the call.
Oh my God, that just cleared up so much.
Awesome. Awesome. Pray that helps you.
Going that way. I'm just like, that makes it so much sense.
Yeah.
It does. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
God bless.
Call.
Have a good day.
Yay! I love it when we can do stuff like that.
I like helping parents who
yeah.
are having issues like that.
Oh, dude. And yeah, we would love to talk to you. Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700, the phone number. We got to take one more quick break, but if you'd like to keep it anonymous, some of them can be embarrassing, some of them can be touchy subjects, you can keep it anonymous by sending us an email to studio@mystaticradio.com, and we will answer the engagement question right around the corner, I promise, and take your phone calls as well. 505-338-3700. It's Shock Therapy Live! What? Static Radio. Static Radio's turning 2 years old.
And we're throwing a birthday party.
A shindig.
A fiesta.
We're gonna have piñatas and a mariachi band.
If by mariachi you mean House of Heroes. What if I told you we
were so far away? Friday, June 14th at the Lobo Theater.
With House of Heroes and special guest Come Win.
Get your invitation now at mystaticradio.com.
Tickets are only $15.
Or 2 for $30.
Or you can get that family 4-pack for $60.
Great math. It's Static Radio's second birthday party featuring Come Wind and House of Heroes. So
invitations and details at mystaticradio.com.
Challenge Man, It's a Guy Thing. The Rally, June 21st, with Josh and Sean McDowell.
When we get to speak together, we just sometimes look at each other and just chuckle and go, wow, this is a window God has given us. It might last another week, it might last another decade. And we just have an absolute blast. Just have an absolute blast.
Don't miss Sean and Josh McDowell. Classic cars, food, music, and more. The Challenge Men's Rally, Friday night, June 21st. Calvary, Albuquerque, 4001 Osuna. And of course, it's free for all.
Shock Therapy Live. What do you want to talk about? Comment now on Facebook.com/MyStaticRadio or call 505-338-3700. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
Welcome back.
Man, we're getting a lot of intense
yeah,
questions.
We are. Steve-O and Pastor Nate Heitzig with you. Hey, if you love the show, quick reminder, we are a listener-supported station, and to be honest, the way that we can gauge the success of things, the success of shows, is, sadly, in this economy, monetarily. If you love Shock Therapy Live, if you love what we are doing, if you believe in the work of this show specifically, would you pray about donating? All you got to do is go to mystaticradio.com. There's a donate button. You can put in the comments, love Shock Therapy Live, whatever, and let us know and lend your support to this ministry because we love doing what we do.
Yeah.
So, all right, there
yep.
you go. PSA over. Let's dig in because we have received a bunch of email questions.
Oh, man, we got a phone call, too. This is crazy.
Yeah, so where would you like to start, sir?
Let's start with this
okay.
this other email
yeah.
question that we got before the show started.
All right.
So got a question. It says, hey, guys, so my beautiful girlfriend and I, oh, scored points.
Oh, yeah.
Are both 21 and have been dating for a while now and are getting closer and closer to marriage, and I know she is the woman God has for me. But what is the proper way to go about proposing, and do you believe in short or long engagement? What is too short or too long?
You're asking the wrong dude, trust me.
So I've got an answer to one of these, and I've got a subjective answer to the other one.
Cool.
So what is the proper way to get engaged? I believe the proper way is through respect and honor. I believe that you need to honor and respect that girl's parents, her father. And so I think the proper way to do that is to call up her dad, or if her dad is in town, go say, hey, can I talk to you over coffee?
Absolutely.
And let him know that you care for his daughter, that you want to see God's best for her, and that you feel the Lord bringing you two together, and you want his permission to marry your daughter.
Man, I'm so glad you started with
and
that.
So I think that's the most important thing. Let him know that you care for her, that you want to care for her as you would care for yourself. And so I think that's really, really, really important. So yeah. I would say that you need to really focus on that first and foremost of honoring her father. Now, secondly, what is too short or what is too long? Well, now this is something that you've got to decide. I personally am not a fan of long engagements. I think it leaves too much room for temptation, too much room unbridled passion.
So.
Yeah. And so it becomes one of those things that it can be really hard to remain pure within that engagement period. So personally, I would say that a short engagement is better. But I've also known some believers who have done really long engagements and have remained perfectly pure in that time. And so it's not bad to do a long engagement either. Neither one is bad. I prefer a shorter engagement. I think that the dating time is the time you really get to know them. And I think once you're ready to get married, you get married.
Right.
And it doesn't need to be a long, drawn-out process, in my opinion.
There you go. All right. I'm there, right with you.
Yeah.
Moving on. I'm going to take a call. Line one. Static.
Yeah, hi. This is Lloyd. How are you?
Good. Hey, good. How you doing?
Good. I just have a problem with the logic, the reasoning. You had a call, I think it was a parent on homosexuality.
Yeah.
And there's a statement that there's no scientific evidence that homosexuality is predisposed. It may be, it may not be.
Sure.
That's number one. So I think that's important to know. You know, you have to leave science to science. And number two, you're equating a predisposition also with evil itself, you know, like serial killers and things like that, which that's an old argument. There's no proof for that people are born murderers or things like that. But another thing is that you're equating homosexuality with an evil predisposition. And so people can be, we do have evidence that people do have a genetic link to possibly becoming alcoholic. People have genetic traits, say, liking chocolate or certain food things.
Right.
But there's a break in logic when you're saying if there is a predisposition for something, that it is in fact inherently evil.
Well, I would actually say, first of all, neither one of us are saying ourselves. We are quoting 1 Corinthians chapter 6, just one of the places. You can go to the book of Romans as well. But if we're talking about equating homosexuality sinfully, God's word says that himself. God himself, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor those who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And so, I would say if it's a matter of equating homosexuality as sinful, we'd have to start right back from the very beginning that it's not us equating it with our opinion. This is what God's word says. And so I would definitely want to throw that out there first and foremost.
Yeah, and we're not saying either that anything that you're born with the desire to do is evil or sinful. We're saying if what you're born with the desire to do goes against what the Bible says, then it is evil and sinful.
Right.
Again, God is the final judge on that. God is the deciding factor on that, not us.
Right.
Not any doctor, not any person, not any psychiatrist or therapist. God is the deciding factor on that. So we're saying anything you're born with the desire to do that goes against what the Bible says and what God has said in his word is wrong.
Right.
Right. And I can see you disagree with that, but I can understand your viewpoint. But I think you have to be careful when you're quoting science and saying there is a natural pre disposition for homosexuality, because there's really, that's been argued, there is no proof of that.
Right. No, and I wouldn't say that we were equating, we're saying scientifically speaking, God's word says that we, and this is what we said, we are born in sin. God's word says that we are born in sin. We do have predispositions, and it could be homosexuality, it could be, it could be kleptomania, for all I know.
And I want to clarify what I said. I said, I think it's interesting that Christians freak out at the possibility that somebody can be born with the desire to be homosexual.
Right.
So I didn't say that it's necessarily a fact. I said that I think it's entirely possible that you can be born with that desire.
With a predisposition
or a desire to engage in something that isn't exactly godly.
Yeah.
And also the Corinthians, in that particular translation, Paul talks about basically temple prostitutes.
That,
so there was the word homosexual did not exist till it was quoted by Sigmund Freud. So how could you possibly translate something with the word homosexual?
Well, because the other word in there, sodomites, is a different word than homosexual. The word sodomites talks about specifically homosexual behavior in which one person is the dominant aggressor and one person is the submissive in a relationship between two men. So there's two words there.
I actually had a friend go to jail for sodomy with his girlfriend, and I'm from the South, so that's really not the definition.
Well, now you're talking about an American definition, not a Greek definition, so you should go look up the Greek word for sodomites and realize that it's a different word than the American word for sodomy.
Well, so that's
I will do that. Yeah. Thank you for your time, gentlemen.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. Static!
Yes. Hi.
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 Okay, my question was, I've been married for 7 years to the same person, and but we've been separated longer than we've been married. Gone to counseling at the church,
mm-hmm.
Tried many times to get back together. My question is, though, bottom line is, when do you draw the line? Like, he asked me if I wanted to start dating again, but what happens is he waits a while and lets things cool down, and then he tries to lure me back into, you know, his life. We live in separate homes. Literally do everything separate. Financially, he will not help me provide, do anything. So my question is, where does it come to an end? Or does it?
Now, I'm going to answer this question just from the biblical standpoint, because the biblical standpoint doesn't talk about like 7 year separation or anything like that. The biblical standpoint only talks about divorce.
Right.
And the only line to be drawn for when to call it quits or when to divorce is when one person within the relationship has committed sexual immorality with another person.
Now, define that.
When there has been adultery. So when let's say a man or a woman has had sex with another man or a woman besides that husband or wife,
there
has now been a line drawn in which adultery has been committed, and at that point the person has the option to either divorce or to still at that point forgive and try to restore the relationship.
So that's the only line that's drawn
in the Bible.
Because you know, in the book of Matthew, Jesus says if a man looks at a woman with lust in his heart, he's committed adultery. But this is not what it's talking about in the case of divorce. We've covered that before. So I wanted to make that clear.
Now I would also define that though in the sense that what is sex? Is sex you know, genitalia to hand, genitalia to mouth, genitalia to genitalia. So I think that there's a good case to be made that if a husband or a wife has gone out and fooled around with another person sexually in a sexual intimate nature, no matter what that ended in, I think that there's a line to be drawn there to say that their adultery has been committed.
Okay.
So, but again, that's the only line that's drawn in the scripture. There's not a line that says if you guys really don't get along for a long period of time, then it's okay to divorce.
Right.
So, you know, that's what the Bible, gives us as far as a guideline for that. So that is the only line that is to be drawn in the scripture.
Okay. Okay. I guess what I'm asking is not approval. I want to be obedient to God, but when I'm struggling and he's out purchasing things, you know, Harley Davidson's, things like that, it's cold on my head.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, totally.
So it's kind of like enough is enough, because really what he wants is a girlfriend, right? He wants me to be there, but he doesn't want to take care of us.
Hmm. Yeah.
Do you have children in the relationship?
My children are grown. They're grown, so no, they're not his children. But my children are all grown with the, I do have a 20-year-old special needs child.
Okay.
So she's with me forever.
Right.
So that's about it.
Yeah, and I want to be clear. We're not saying that what he's doing is right.
Absolutely,
he's doing is okay. You know, what he's doing is wrong, but you've got to understand that he's got to answer for that someday. What he does on this earth, how he conducts his life, he's got to answer for, and you've got to answer for what you do. And we only get to answer for ourselves. And so I think that, it's important in a situation like this to try as much as you can. I know it's hard to focus on yourself rather than him, because, one of the key reasons why relationships, in my opinion, get destroyed in the first place is couples constantly want to focus on what the other person should do or how the other person should be. And what happens is they stop focusing on who they're supposed to be and the role that they're supposed to fulfill, and then the marriage inevitably breaks apart. I believe if couples were to spend more time saying, how can I be the best wife that God has called me to be? How can I be the best mom, the best woman that God has called me to be? If each person in a relationship did that, the man and the woman, then each person would get their needs met and the relationship would flourish because both of them were focusing on what they're supposed to do, not on what the other person's supposed to do. So I know that's hard to say, especially when he's doing these things and it's just heartbreaking for you. But as much as is possible, you need to focus on your relationship with God and let that be the steering point within your life.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, you can.
What has your biblical counselor told you up to this point? Because you said you've tried to go to the church, you've went through quote-unquote Christian counseling. And what is their stance? What have they said? Because they obviously know the situation a lot better. And so to upfront say, well, has adultery been committed? What is their stance?
Well, we went to Pastor Kerry Rose.
Okay.
And
okay.
He said that he is not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
He is who he is, and only God can change him. But from what he's seeing, he is not going to change his ways.
Right.
And he just told me, don't apply or don't go file for divorce. Let him do it.
Okay.
But, you know, I guess we just might just be married forever.
Right.
You know, because, like I said, he waits, and he waits for a while. He lets time go by. And then I'm not so upset. And then he, you know, tries to sneak in. But he asked me literally straight out if we could start dating.
Each other or said, others? I'm almost confused. He wants to date you again?
Yes, he wants to date me again.
Okay.
But with no financial gain, no nothing. So he just wants literally a girlfriend.
Well, now I would say this really quick before we close.
Yeah. Final comment.
I would say that oftentimes when couples have been separated for a time, we encourage them before they just go right back into marriage and how things were before, that they date one another for a period of time.
Agreed.
That they pursue one another for a period of time.
Absolutely.
So I would actually say that would be a good thing for you guys. If he says, hey, let's date each other, I think that would be good. But again, I would say, okay, if we're going to date, we're going to treat each other like we're dating. You know, we're not going to, it doesn't mean the dates are going to end in sex just because we're married. If you want to date, we're going to date and you can pursue me and we can see how this relationship can flourish within the Lord's parameters. So
there you go.
That's what I would say.
If you missed any part of the show, mystaticradio.com. We'll see you next week.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.